Preserving oral folktales, myths and legends in the digital era. Here is a brief outline of my presentation. First of all, I will give a brief introduction, and then I will talk about the folktales, myths and legends in Bhutan. Then I will talk about the traditional values which the folktales help to transmit. And I will also look at some of the functions served by myths and legends. Then finally, I will make a proposal for setting up Bhutanese folktales online database. Then I will conclude my presentation. I think most of the presenters here in this conference have talked about how important it is to preserve our oral traditions. And today, we have a lot of entertainment. We have television, and now the internet. And so, the oral traditions such as storytelling, loze, and sangmo are fast disappearing. The oral traditions are not just important for their sake. They help us preserve our traditions and culture. And I feel that the present efforts in preserving our oral traditions have been lackluster. There has been many efforts in the preservation of culture, especially in, I feel that the present efforts have been in those areas where we can see tangible results, such as the restoration of temples or the preservation of Goen Kira, which you can see from outside. But when it comes to the intangible parts, I think there has not been enough efforts. We are in the digital era, so all kinds of digital entertainment are at our disposal now. And this poses a challenge for us. But at the same time, this also gives us a lot of opportunities. I will talk about that later. And finally, I feel that it is very important for us to adopt the digital technology to compile and archive. And not only compile and archive, but to revive our oral traditions using the digital technology. I think I will not go into details about folktales, myths and legends, what they mean. Basically, for me, folktales, myths and legends seem like three distinct parts. But when I'm not a folklorist, so when I research a bit, it seems that the folktales would include the myths and legends as well. I think the experts here will be able to answer that. But anyway, in my paper, I have separated them because in the folktales, I mean really the real folktales, like Meme Hele Hele and all. And the myths and legends, these are usually connected with the story of the land. Stephen Evans, he mentioned before. If this is your land, where is your story? And most of the land in Bhutan have their particular story to tell. And these folktales, myths and legends give us a glimpse into the morals, values and lifestyle of the Bhutanese. Maybe not of the present generation, but of a bygone generation. But still then, the values are almost the same as it was quoted before the speech of our fifth king. He mentioned that although the outer styles have changed, the intrinsic values are same as those of the Bhutanese who lived during the first king. Just briefly, I will go through. I have found that the folktales of Bhutan are usually of these types. There are stories of very strong men in especially the language of the Eastern Bhutan we call Masang. There are a lot of stories of Masang, and also there are stories of Simpo and Simmo. I think the kids, young participants here know. And then there are stories of stupidity and wit. And one unique thing is also, especially among the gatherings of men, especially in the rural areas, a lot of sexually oriented stories are told. I think one not so much sexually oriented, but yesterday Mr. Karmagaran narrated one. And I feel this is kind of unique, but maybe in other cultures too this exists. And there are many stories where there is jealousy and the jealous one gets punished. Now, I think this talk is becoming rather monotonous and boring, so I will narrate a small story. Excuse me. Okay. I would like to narrate a small story. It's called Story of Bumo Sing Sing Yang Dongma. Bumo, in Buddhist language, means daughter or a girl, and Sing Sing Yang Dongma is the name of that girl. Long, long ago, there were a young couple, one husband and wife. And the wife used to stay home and weave at the loom like this. And the husband used to go and work outside in the fields. One day, when the wife was weaving outside, a crow was flying over, and from her beak fell a very large and succulent orange. Now, it happened that at the time, the wife was pregnant. And when the woman is pregnant, they have a craving for lots of varieties of food. And when she saw the fruit, she wanted to eat it. So she peeled the orange, and when she ate it, she found that the orange was not like any other orange that she had ever eaten. It was very delicious and very sweet. So when her husband came back home in the evening, she told her husband, today, she told about the incident, the falling down of the orange and how delicious it was, and she told him, if only you could get it for me, I would be so happy. Then the husband said, oh dear, I know that you like it, but this orange is from the land of the simples. It means like demon, from the land of the demons. If I go to get it, there is very little chance that I can return alive. But for your sake, I can give a try. The wife, craving for the fruit, was so much that instead of saying not to go, she said, please go and try. So the next day, the husband started on a long journey to the land of the simples. After many days, when he reached the land of the simples, he found a very large orchard. And there were many orange trees. They were laden with the same fruit, delicious fruit. So he climbed up one of the trees on the edge of the orchard. And when he got to the top, the demons from their house saw the tree moving. So the demon said, hey, who is down there? I can get a smell of fresh flesh and blood. He was so terrified. And he tried to imitate the crow. So he said, ah, ah. And the simple said, oh, it's just a crow, and he went inside. So the husband was carrying two big jolas. We call jola a traditional bag that we used to carry. Nowadays, we don't see many people using that. And after picking two bags full, he made his way back home. And when he got back home, his wife was very happy, and he said, you are really a man. And so she enjoyed the fruit, but it was soon finished, and still she wanted to have more. And she begged her husband, please, can you go and get the same fruit again, please, my dear? The husband could not say no to her, to his wife. So he again went to the land of the simples. But this time, the simples had come to know of the theft. So they were all sleeping under the trees. And in the hot midday sun, they were all fast asleep, snoring. So he once thought of returning empty-handed, but again, when he looked at the fruits, his desire was so much, so he thought, I should not go back empty-handed after having come up to here. So when he looked at one of the fruit trees on the edge of the field, he saw an elderly simple demon sleeping under it. He had a big goiter. Long time ago, even in Bhutan, we used to have many old women and men having goiter. Nowadays, we don't see. But this demon had a large goiter. And he thought he would take a chance by climbing up this tree. And he climbed up and he peeled up his jaws. It was already full, but he still wanted to take a little more. So when he put some more oranges into his bag, one of the large oranges fell down and it hit exactly on the goiter of the simple. The simple, in the story we say Meme simple, Meme means grandpa. So the Meme simple woke up with a start and said, hey, who is up there? I can smell fresh flesh and blood. I will drink your blood in one gulp and I will eat you in one mouthful, he shouted. And he said, will you come down or should I climb up? And he said, terrified, dear medicine boy, I'm very sorry for stealing your oranges. But, he said, I have a story to tell. And he said that my wife is pregnant and she has a very deep craving for your fruits. So I could not deny her wish, he said. If only you could let me go, I will promise to give my to-be-born child in marriage to one of your children, he said. At this, the simple had a sudden change of temper. And he said, oh, if that is the case, I can spare you. And he said, you can take as much oranges as you want. And not only that, he even uprooted one of the trees and gave it to him. So he went back with a lot of oranges and he planted the tree in front of his house. And his wife enjoyed the oranges throughout the pregnancy. And a little healthy baby daughter was born at the end of 9 months. So the daughter grew up, and as she grew up, she became very, very beautiful. Everybody liked her. But the parents were really worried because one day she would be taken by the Meme simple. So she became very cute. And just as expected, one day, Meme simple stormed into the house and he said, now I have come to take your daughter away. The parents were really sad and the parents said, oh, Meme simple, we are ready to give our daughter to you as we promised, but at least you should know her name, said. If you cannot tell her name, we can't give her to you. They said to Meme simple. And Meme simple said, thought it would be easy to know the name of the girl. So he agreed and he said that he would come back after he knew the name of the girl. So there is this story. So I will try to make it shorter. So first he sends a dog. The dog hides in the corner near the house and he hears the girl's name and he goes back. But on the way he becomes hungry. And he sees a dove near the roadside. And when he was eating that, he forgot the name of the girl. The next, he sends a bee. And the bee also, when it was drinking some nectar on the way, it forgets the name of the girl. So next, the medicine boy decides to come by himself. And he hides near the house. And he hears the mother calling to the daughter. the daughter's mother says, "Oh, my lovely daughter, tomorrow many simple might take you away. Today, please come and eat your mother's home-cooked lunch." Mother calls out by the name, so, my dear daughter, Mumo Singsing Yang Dongma, please come for lunch," something like that. And then as soon as he hears that, Mimi Simpo storms into the house and says, "Mumo La Singsing Yang Dongma." Ha! He was very happy. So they had no other choice. They have to give the daughter to Mimi Simpo. Mimi Simpo carries her to his house. And when they reach his house, he's rather kind to her. So all the demons go hunting during the day. So on the first day, Mimi Simpo gives her a little key. And he asks her, "When we are away, if you become bored, please go in, open the door with this key and go inside and enjoy yourself." So when she opens the door, she finds many children. Babies, actually, human babies and children inside the room, probably kept by the demons to be eaten. The next day, the medicine pole gives her a bigger key, and at that time, she finds many children, probably like this, like students of junior high school or primary school in that room. And she frees them all and asks them to run away. And on the third day, Mimi Simpo gives her a bigger key, and when she opens the door, she finds very old men and women in the room. And one of the old women says, oh, my dear daughter, you are so young and beautiful. How did you end up in such a place?" And she says, she narrates her whole story to her, and then she says, "Oh, you should not stay here." And then she says, "Make a prayer and pull out three strands of hair from my head. When you do that, my skin will come out. So you get into that skin and disguise yourself as an old woman and run away from here," she advises her. She does as she was told, and then disguised as an old lady, she runs away. When Mimi Simpo returns from hunting, he is very, very angry to find his bride missing. So he goes around searching for her everywhere. And when he was going around, Mumo Singsing Yang Dongma, disguised as the old lady, was lying at the side of the road. Mimi Simpo says, "You old wretched, what are you doing here?" And he gives a kick and he goes on searching. Well, finally, she works and works, and as she was lying down on a road, very hungry and tired, three sons of a king, so they were princess actually, princess, they come from patching bamboo. In Bhutan, rural areas, usually men go to patch bamboo from the mountains, and usually they would be dragging the bamboo. So the three sons of the king were dragging the bamboo. They were sons of the king, but they were doing work. So in the folktales, most of the princes and princesses are working. I think they were maybe the kings of a small village, and I think they were just rich people. So that time they referred to them as kings. I think they had to do the work. So the eldest prince came past and he said, "Hey, old woman, what are you doing here? Get out of my way." And she says, "If you are in a hurry, please cross over me. If you are not in a hurry, please go around me." And the eldest son, the eldest prince says, "How can I have the time to go around an old wretched like you?" And he just drags his bamboo over her. The second son does the same. When the youngest son comes, he asks very gently, dear grandma, can you please move to the side?" And she replies in the same way, "I have no strength to move. So if you are in a hurry, please go around me. If you are not in a hurry, please go around me. If you are in a hurry, please cross over me." The youngest prince says, oh, how can I cross over a precious human being? In Buddhism, we believe that to be born as a human is very precious, Nili Rinpoche. So how can I cross a Nili Rinpoche? So he goes around, and then he further asks, oh, Grandma, can you at least guard my fields from the birds, from the wild birds? Then she says, yes, I can at least do that. So he puts her on his lot of bamboo and takes him home and lets her guard the bamboo. And at the palace, the old lady, the Bumosin Sinyalmoma disguised, was always guarding the fields. But one day, the three princes were very surprised to hear a very melodious singing voice from near the fields. When they went to see, they saw a very beautiful girl standing there. They couldn't believe their eyes. And when they went near her, they found out that it was actually the wretched old lady who had turned into a very beautiful girl. Then they asked her how she became like that, and she narrated her story. Then each one of them wanted to marry her. So the eldest said, I should be given preference because I want to hurt any of his sons. And he wanted to put them to a fair test. So he dug into the ground, and then he put a bamboo pole. And it was put quite deep. And he said, whoever could pull it out, I will get the chance to marry the girl. So the two elder brothers tried in turn, they exploited it, but it would not move. When it was the turn of the youngest son, the bamboo came out quite easily. Probably it was because of fate or destiny. So they married. This is when she was disguised. They got married. She married the youngest prince, and they had a very beautiful child. But somebody had reported that she was married and had a child with the prince to the Simpo. So Mimi Simpo made a plan, came to the palace, and when she was going out, he kidnapped her once again. So the story is quite long, but I will try to make it short. So when Mimi Simpo kidnapped her, this time Mimi Simpo was not going to let her go. I'm sorry, I had forgotten one thing. When she was parting with her mother in the beginning, her mother gives her 3 grains of wheat. And mother says, in your later life, you will face a very difficult, when you face a very difficult situation, you throw one of the grains into the sky with a prayer, and that time you will be able to get help, she was told. So now this time, when Mimi Simpo kidnapped her, she thought it was now the time for her to use that. So on the way, when they were taking a rest, he makes a prayer and throws one of the grains of wheat into the air, and at that instant, a very strong white horse appears, and the horse says to her, girl, get on my back quickly. And as soon as she did that, the horse went running away from the demon, and Mimi Simpo kept following her. They ran and ran and ran. On the way, she throws the second wheat, and when the Simpo was about to catch her, she throws the second wheat with a prayer, and at the time, a large stream flows and separates the Simpo. But again, he was about to catch her, and again, when she uses the last grain, a large forest appears and separates them. But at last, Mimi Simpo was never giving up, and the horse was tired, and it was about to die, and the horse tells her to use his body to build an imaginary castle by making a prayer. So after the horse falls dead, she does exactly as she is told. She uses the 4 legs as the pillars and then uses the highest roof, and then she makes a prayer. As she does so, it turns into a very beautiful, large house. And she was told to use the kidneys, her kidneys, as the guard dogs. So the kidneys turn into a very huge two guard dogs. So when she was staying there, she saw from the distance a man approaching. And she said to the dogs, "If he is our friend, please bring them home. If he is our enemy, please don't leave a single piece of him." So the dogs run towards him, and the dog devours the demon. And that was the end of many simple. And after a few days, they see another man approaching, carrying a little child. And this time, the dogs welcomed the man and the child happily home, and they happen to be her husband and the son. And they live happily ever after. I think one of the recurring themes is having good thoughts and intentions. In Bhutan, we believe that this is one of the most important qualities in the human being, to have good thoughts or intentions. And I think almost all the Bhutanese here would know this by heart. We have the saying, Sampa Zang Na Sadang Lam Yang Zang, Sampa Yen Na Sadang Lam Yang Yen. It means if your thoughts and intentions are good, all places and paths will be favorable to you. Everything will work out well for you. On the other hand, if your thoughts and intentions are bad, all places and paths will be unfavorable to you. This is, I think, most basic values that the Bhutanese think is the most important. So the second one, very important value that we attach is for repaying kindness, gratitude. And we say, Karin Gaso or Dinlen Jelmi, especially to our parents and teachers, is considered very important. However, it is a little bit sad to note that nowadays, especially in the towns, I think the younger generation are a little bit losing touch. For example, in my case, I grew up seeing how hard our parents work in the fields. So we really feel grateful to our parents. But I think the younger generation, those who whose parents are going to offices, I think they don't feel so grateful. They feel that it's the duty of the parents to give them money and look after them, I think, which is a little bit sad. Yeah, it is quite similar to the earlier one, the obedience to parents and filial piety. Many of the stories narrated by the storytellers who came from the villages, the stories reflect this theme. It is believed that if you are obedient to the parents, if you do not make your parents feel sad, or if you do not go against, your wishes will be fulfilled. Of course, sometimes the parents could also be unreasonable, but I think you need to strike a balance. And this too is a very important value in Bhutanese tradition, Kadamsi Lejude. This has been explored in one of the papers by one Lopen called Lopen Kanmafunso. It is found in one of the journals of Center for Bhutanese Studies. And it is basically about being faithful between spouse, or between the relationship between the parents and the children, the relationship between the teachers and the students, and the relationship between the king and his subjects. So this is a very recurrent theme in most of the Bhutanese stories. Yesterday, our dragon from Paro narrated a very interesting story, and the main theme was this, Tadamsi Lejuri. His theme was Tadamsi Lejuri, between spouse, between the husband and wife. So the fifth one is also very important in the Bhutanese value system, Jampa and Inje. In English, it is translated as loving kindness and Inje as compassion. I feel that not to be blowing our own trumpet, but Bhutanese generally, I think, quite compassionate. When I was in, presently actually, I'm studying in Japan, and one day I was just walking in the park with a Japanese friend, and I saw a worm on the path. It was wriggling in the sun, and somebody could just step over it without thinking twice. I just used a stick to put it into the green grasses nearby. And my friend was very surprised because, and he was quite impressed. He thought that, he knew that I spontaneously showed compassion to this little worm. So I feel that this is something there in Bhutanese stories and also quite inherent in most Bhutanese. We also find it very hard to eat in a restaurant where they serve after feeding the live fish or some seafood. It is quite hard for most Bhutanese to eat in such restaurant, although the food is very fresh. But we eat meat, but I think, again, when we say that we eat meat, then they say that, oh, if you eat meat, it's the same as killing. But for us, it seems that there's a little difference. The other two are joy and equanimity, gawa dantangyong. So I feel that the folktales have a very important role to play in the cultural preservation. So as I said in the beginning, the cultural preservation that we are stressing on now, even from the government side, I think they are too much into the tangible aspects. On the other side of things, we are really focused to a lot of information from outside. We watch television, which is produced by India, many Indian channels. We watch the Indian soap opera. So in that process, many things are getting influenced. And also, one important thing that we have to be careful about is our language. In many homes, especially in the homes of well-to-do, they usually speak English. I can speak English, I feel, fairly well, but I do not encourage my son to speak English. I would rather have him speak my language at home. I think he will learn English naturally in school. So I feel that we do not have to feel too proud to be speaking English at home, because our own language is also quite important. So the myths and legends, connected to many places in Bhutan, they reflect the local beliefs, local history, and the relationship between man and his environment, how the Bhutanese lived in relation to his environment. So I myself come from a place called Manchuri. Actually, I have narrated the story behind this place in my paper. So I think in this, I don't have the time to go through. So every place has a story, and today, one of the important messages I would like to convey to the gathering is that the literate people, like us, the educated people, the so-called educated people, has the duty to record these legends and myths related to your places. One day it may be forgotten. Most of the places have these very interesting legends. For example, just to the name, this place Manchuri means, Mancha means Mithun, and Ri means water. So there is a very interesting story behind it. how it could, the place came to be called land of Nidun's water. But I hope some of you will read my paper. So today, I do not have the time to go into detail. But really, I feel that the educated lot has a lot of responsibility to document these myths and legends. And these myths and legends helped our ancestors.